Lloyd Center remodel, and Stacy Monroe is here to brief us. Stacy?
Yes, good afternoon. I don't have a presentation, I'm gonna just briefly walk through my memo, get you up to speed with the project. So this is the Lloyd Center new plaza, South Entry Plaza, and new retail at the south end along Multnomah. You've seen this project several times in the form of a Type 3. The most recent visit was back in February on the 19th. That hearing was more of a check-in to kind of vet out a couple of items or a couple of scenarios for the canopy. Three scenarios were discussed at that hearing. And the commission will weigh in on their preference for a canopy to be located along the west side of the plaza. Additional information or details were requested, including more seating within the plaza, more human-scaled elements to kind of bridge the scale between the pedestrian and the large mass of the Macy's wall, to create better defined or clearly defined spaces within the plaza. And there was additional direction provided regarding the bridge, thinning up the bridge to provide more a more clear view of the entry at the north end of that. Discussion about the flagpole placement and about it extending down to the ground. And for the team to continue to explore the space beneath the parking deck. So staff has worked with the applicant on the revisions before you today. Staff feels that overall the revisions address all the concerns and it meets the approval criteria, and we've prepared a staff report recommending approval. The applicant has also provided materials and samples over on the sideboard, which I don't think we had the benefit of all of them at the prior hearings. So if you want to take a look at those as well. And that's it. I'm going to let the applicant go into detail about the revisions.
Any questions for Stacy?
Okay, gentlemen.
Okay, thank you. I'm John Fainter with Cypress Equities in Dallas, based in Dallas, Texas. I really appreciate staff and the commissioners' invaluable time and in input and feedback as we've gone through this process. We certainly recognize that Lloyd Center has a unique and special position in the Portland community, and it does in our community as well, as it's the first investment of our funds. So we recognize that there's a responsibility to create something special here that we take not only for our partners and our shareholders, but for the community as well. And we develop projects all across the country and coast to coast. And we know that we have to listen to what the market's telling us and adhere to that input and feedback. So we really do appreciate everybody's time and input thus far. And just kind of take a step back, when we first acquired the mall almost 2 years ago, we knew there was a tremendous opportunity to enhance its drive-up appeal, the aesthetics. You know, we thought by incorporating a front door to the property, it would connect not only the interior that has been vibrant for years, but connect to the exterior and create a new vibrancy and activity to the exterior, and especially to the pedestrian flow of the surrounding neighborhoods that are changing daily, and to Holiday Park across the street. And that was a very important component of our study of this redesign, this redevelopment. Holiday Park is as everybody knows, a great park, beautiful, well laid out. But has suffered from a negative perception of safety and crime. And we've been, after our initial acquisition of the property, our first investment was in, you know, the tune of over six figures, was to put money back into the park, working with Portland Parks and Recreation to create a new, vibrant, lively space with programming. And we had the first pilot program last summer. We're in final stages of launching our second program this coming summer. We had a rehearsal over spring break last week, and it's been very successful. And we feel that you know, making this investment in the community will certainly help our investment in the mall. The other thing that we want to talk about is, you know, with these public spaces, we have a unique position and role here with our on-site management team and marketing team to oversee some of the activities that have been created in this outdoor space. We can have staff that focuses on security, landscaping, cleanup, things like that that you won't normally find in a public outdoor space. We can provide seasonal or promotional activities to enhance this outdoor space over time, whether they be outdoor kind of push carts, food carts, farmers markets, specific events tailored to some of the merchants in the mall. And those are some of the things we'll touch on in our presentation to enliven the vibrancy out here in this center. Again, I'll turn it over to get into the specifics, but we feel that through this process we've done a great job of hearing y'all. I think our consultants have done a great job of hearing y'all and listening and coming up with a plan that we've worked through with staff. Again, it's an investment from our standpoint that's not necessarily revenue generating. We're taking away GLA from the mall. We're taking away parking spaces. But we think that by creating this place that it'll pay off in the long run and provide new opportunities for new street front retail, new merchants that'll come into the mall, and we and more customers coming to Lloyd Center and continuing is a vibrant component of the community fabric. So appreciate it.
Good question, John. Any update on Nordstrom's? What's going into that space?
We just got the space back in March. And we're in the process of assessing what we have and how do we tie, because we had to close off the entry from the mall on the west side to the sky bridge over there. So we're coming up with a solution to reconnect those two right now. There are several merchants that are interested in the building, and we're going a lot of different paths. One direction is completely different than the other direction. So it's got a kind of tiger by the tail right now to so we don't have anything specific.
Gotcha. Great. Thank you.
Mark Mikolovich with Waterleaf Architecture. Last name is spelled M-I-K-O-L. A-V as in Victor, I-C-H, and we're at 419 Southwest 11th Avenue in Portland, 97205. Want to thank the Commission for the opportunity for us to show our responses to previous comments. And what I'm intending to do is to reiterate some of the things that we heard in the last meeting, previous meetings, and show you how we responded to each of those. I think it's accurate to say that many of the comments we heard were concerned with ensuring that the public space that we're providing here will be an amenity that will be humane, actively used, and successful. And the canopies, of course, are an integral part of that success. So one of the things that we heard and was mentioned by Stacy is that there was a preference expressed for a canopy on the west side of the plaza to provide continuous rain protection from Multnomah Street to the vestibule. And in looking at further developing those canopies on the west side, we also looked at the engineering parameters for the stormwater planter. And that led us to actually locate the stormwater planter or planters on the east side of the plaza, which opened up some opportunities on the west side. I'll talk a little bit later about the stormwater planters more, but continuing with the canopies on the east side. Oh, it doesn't show up. I got to get my pointer.
Okay.
I got one. One of the things that we've done, here are the canopies here along the west side, there and there, which lead to a canopy in front of the vestibule. In looking at the design of this, one of the things that we did is we brought this bulkhead at the west edge of the parking deck forward to align with the face of block C there, which allowed us to have a continuous canopy condition from here to the entrance. Those canopies provide at least 5 feet of rain protection measured from the outer edge of the canopy to the face of the storefront at block C. And at the edge of the parking deck, even more. You can see here, that's the canopy. There's your 5 feet of protection. And then you have all of this additional covered space underneath there. We also heard a suggestion to explore architectural treatments for and uses for the space under the parking deck. At the same time, we looked at the location and the detail of the screen element that's always been between the plaza and the parking garage, and as well talked about or looked at the location of bike parking. So bike parking has actually moved from its previous location, which was under the edge of the parking deck, to the west side of the truck ramp here, where it's more visible and more accessible than it was in its previous location. And moving the stormwater planter to the east side of the plaza made this space here under the end of the parking deck available as a programmable extension of the plaza, which can support, as John noted a moment ago, not only holiday park initiatives, such as in inclement weather, bringing over the library and reading room, poetry, music performance, Tai Chi, and their imagination playgrounds, but might also support farmers markets and food carts under that area as well. Our goal in this space was to create a sense of room with the batten treatment between the truck ramp and the plaza. With battens, vertical battens on the wall and horizontal battens at the ceiling, to create, instead of just an edge to the plaza, essentially a place where activities could be supported. These battens are about a 2-inch by 6-inch metal batten made of a heavy gauge metal. They are 15 inches on center. That's a fairly accurate representation of the color. The upper right color over here on the board behind you is actually the color we're currently looking at, this guy right here. They'll be pre-finished heavy gauge metal battens. So painted, yeah. And this section again just shows those battens are here and there and here and there. We also heard, as Tracy mentioned, a suggestion to explore the creation of more defined seating zones by perhaps considering the configuration of the planters. What we've done is created these fingers of planters that extend off of the stormwater planter into the plaza that create a series of seating nodes or eddies that are outside the main circulation path. And a section through the planter right here looks presently like this section right here. So there's a bench seat and then a higher wall behind it that provides opportunities for both high seating and low seating. And then in addition, these freestanding planters, which occupy some of the space that was previously occupied by the continuous stormwater planter, are available and offering even more seating options. All in all, the seating options provide the flexibility to host, we think, a variety of events, or even for individuals or groups to find places suitable to their needs, in the sun, out of the sun, at the front of the plaza, near the entrance, in a public space or in a more private space. We also heard from the commission a suggestion to explore some intermediate scaled elements that might bridge between the pedestrian scales and the building scales of the plaza. So again, we've modified the planter forms here and here to create smaller scale planter elements. And we've also added some trees to the plaza. On the east side, in the stormwater planters, we're looking at vine maples here. And in these west side planters, we're looking at birch trees. And the intention is to provide a stronger landscape sensibility and also to draw a sense of the park into the plaza. And since we're talking about landscape a little bit more right now, I'm going to turn this over for a moment to Sean Cummer from GreenWorks to explain the design intent of the landscape scheme.
Hello. Hello. My name is Sean Cummer, a landscape architect with GreenWorks, located at, last name spelled K-U-M-M-E-R. We're located at 24 Northwest 2nd Avenue, Suite 100, 97209. One of the hallmarks of a successful public space is that the design elements associated with the space promote a strong image and identity, both for the space and the larger community. The plaza landscape is comprised of carefully selected groupings of tree and plant spaces that we believe is integral to achieving the goal of creating a vibrant and rich space, a space that people will be drawn to inhabit, linger in, and use, and not just be a place to get from point A to point B. The layout of plants and trees and all the planters is organized but not strongly formal to serve as a counterpoint to the strongly orthogonal geometry of the plaza architecture. As Mark noted, we've introduced trees to the design that weren't previously in the previous presentations. The layout of this this exhibit that we have here represents the south side of the plaza, south end of the plaza, with the four planters on the west side located here, and then this being the stormwater planter, and then the finger nodes coming off that planter. And on the west side planter, we have the birch trees that Mark explained, and they are informally arranged line, kind of evocative of a grove, which provide a distinctive and striking appearance due to the strong contrast of the tree's white bark. I just advance forward a couple slides just to kind of show sort of some precedent imagery, inspirational imagery of where that, you know, of what inspired that idea, and just the strong contrast of that bark of the birches provides. In contrast to ground plane planting. In these four planters, which are the standard landscape planting, non-stormwater treatment planters, there's a selection and arrangement of plants is intentionally simple to evoke an elegant and modern aesthetic. The autumn ferns form a meandering spine that runs through the center of the planters, visually connecting them together, represented by the yellow down the center. And this precedent imagery with the birch kind of shows an idea of what those ferns look like in a natural setting. So again, the inspiration for that image. And in those planters also, the black monograss, and see how the black monograss and contrast white bark forms a striking appearance. The plantings are low and the trees are limbed up so that views are preserved through the plaza to the spiral staircase and a new entrance beyond. The new spring fronds of the autumn fern begin with a brilliant orange and salmon rose tones that persist through summer and eventually turn to lustrous green in the winter. The flowering bulbs interspersed with the planting provide a flush of color in the spring, exemplified by the daffodils, hyacinths, and irises. The liope is a summer-blooming grass-like plant. Variegated foliage of the dogwood help to brighten the space during the summer and spring and summer. the white bark of the birch provide the same function as well. In the autumn, birch leaves turn yellow. The vine maples turn yellow in a range of orange. And the exposed stem of the dogwood provide an accent of interest in the winter and play well off the birch, white birch bark. The majority of plants are evergreen and will persist year-round. Plant combinations have been selected purposely for a variety of foliage colors and textures to provide added visual interest. So all this assemblage of plants intentional to provide interest year-round and strong visual interest. Stormwater planters provide the planting in them along the east side of the plaza for a backdrop to the planters in front. The layout of the planting is more diverse and organic in form with drifts of plant groupings, but maintains a strong unifying serpentine spine of planting that reflects the arrangement of ferns in the landscape planting. And just a couple images of precedent images of what that sort of more informal drifts of planting would be like. And all the plant species in the stormwater plant are suitable for a wet environment and come off the approved Portland stormwater planting list. It's suitable for the wet conditions. That wraps up.
Should I continue?
Well, why don't you take a couple more minutes and you can wrap it up. Okay.
Not close. So continuing with what we heard, in response to the design standards related to water features and art, we've added a storm water feature here against the Macy's wall that's visually and functionally integrated into the design of the plaza. You can see it in this image as well. The way it works is there's an existing rainwater downspout behind the wall in this location, which we're intercepting, bringing the water out of the wall into this horizontal gutter that runs on the Macy's wall. And at each stormwater planter, there's a 4-foot slot which allows the stormwater to wash over these screen elements and be conveyed into the stormwater planters themselves. So there's both a visual response and one that responds to the hearing sense, which makes the rain event more than an ordinary experience. We also heard the suggestion, if we could, to reduce the depth of the bridge. We looked back at our structural configuration. We were able to actually take 6 inches out of the depth of this bridge, which made a significant difference in the visibility of the curtain wall on the stair. One thing we haven't promised, but we're able to do, is we looked again at the location of the vestibule, and we're able to bring it more centrally located in the plaza, and also to bring the curtain wall about 5 or 6 feet forward to actually shorten the depth of the plaza, which creates, I think, a more comprehensible entrance experience that's consistent with the geometry of the plaza. It also opens up opportunities, particularly in this area, in the future to provide amenities on the Macy's facade there, if it's warranted and if it becomes available in the future. And very briefly, we've also extended the flagpoles to grade as was suggested, and we've incorporated the smaller of the options for garage entrance features that we represented last time. So I hope it's evident that we've made some significant moves in response to some of the comments that we received previously. And I think the design has, as Sean touched on, created a stronger image or sense of identity that's wrapped around both a landscape element, but also the curtain wall and the stair feature, which are important in the plaza. We've created a variety of smaller spaces within the plaza that can support both passive and more dynamic activities. I think we've created a flexible space, a more flexible space that can accommodate a variety of informal or programmed activities, and reinforce the sense of invitation by bringing landscape elements and the canopy closer to the sidewalk. One thing that I didn't mention is we also deleted the bollards
to make this more accessible, and I think increase the opportunities or the potential for this to be a successful space by having the Macy's entrance, the mall entrance, the Block C storefronts, and these programmed activities opening to the plaza. Thank you.
All right. Good timing there. All right. Who's got questions?
Mark, can you go back to the signage in the parking garage? And just from what did you say changed there?
Well, the first time the commission saw this signage, it was about three times that size. And the last time we were here, we showed that original option plus an intermediate-sized option, and this one, which is less than half the size of the original option. And the goal there, and that was informed by comments from the commission, was to create a more appropriate hierarchy of signage and entrance elements, given the whole scheme of this Multnomah facade.
And then over at the entry, that you had a sign closer out front, but that has now moved just to the bridge.
Yeah,
have a sign out front.
Right, and that actually was a resolution that came out of the last meeting, was that we showed some options for different plaza signage, and that was preferred. Right.
Okay, and then these light bollards here, they're in the back court. They're not at all the forecourt, right?
Just correct.
These last three in the back.
Right, and that's to some extent because we've used those same light bollards at other areas of the mall where we've opened up storefronts to the street or to parking, and so we're sort of carrying that language through to other areas that have similar character.
So since you're on that subject of the light bollards, those tall bollards, what are those doing for you in terms of either defining space or lighting?
Both, we hope. I mean, just because of their nature, they're defining a subspace within the plaza, within the north plaza even, that allows the tables and chairs to sort of glom around them. It provides sort of a pedestrian-scale lighting experience in that zone that we think is appropriate, that supplements the more general lighting that's provided from fixtures that are mounted both on the canopies and on the top of the Macy's parapet.
Yeah. Are those similar to the lights that are in the South Waterfront Park?
Those are a little different.
Those are they're bollards, tall bollards like that, and they, we'll get too detailed here, but I those are extremely harsh. I haven't seen one yet that puts out a really, I wouldn't want to be a flattering light, but a light that isn't offensive maybe. What is the lighting? Is it LED? Is it?
I might have to check. The last time we used these, it was they were T8 fluorescents.
Okay.
And you can sort of modulate the amount of light output that they get by either increasing or reducing the number of lamps.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need them for any exit path lighting or anything like that.
No.
Strictly ornamental.
Right.
All right.
Are the ones you've seen? Do they have the frosted or white? And
yeah.
They're still
yeah.
Bright.
Yeah. They're. Okay. I mean, yeah. They're. But there's a lot of them too. So, but individually, they are just kind of in your face.
Okay.
And so, yeah. Other questions?
Yeah.
Ted.
Good work. Did you consider when you're designing those planters on the west side? Did you play around with the potential for the same configuration but no planter? In other words, standing benches at grade plantings and the tree coming out of that as opposed to a concrete raised planter? Am I making sense?
Yes. Well, I'll answer part of it and maybe you can too. So you're talking about these planters over here.
Yeah.
So the question is whether they were in grade or raised?
Had you given any consideration to them not being raised?
Yes. Actually, in different iterations, they were lower. We did, and so we went back and forth. We ended up making a choice to provide more varied seating opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is, because of the fact of the trees being added, there's a minimum soil volume. I'm
right. answering for you
right.
That's required. And since this planter is partially over structured space below and that one's fully over, in order to the soil volume we needed to raise those a certain amount.
Yeah, where I'm headed is just wondering whether you explored just using standard benches and then put the tree in a box and put some planting at grade, and just to save on the need to have all this concrete.
We've considered it. We haven't explored it much, but we've always carried the idea that there's some sort of weight to these elements, in some ways to contrast with the planar character of the okay. walls.
The other question I have is, isn't there a, is it either a Thomas Hardy or an Al Goldsby in the parking lot? What is it on C, let's see, C22, your plan view?
This one?
Isn't there something down at in the parking area right along this wall that's either an Al Goldsby or a Thomas Hardy artwork, a flock of birds or something?
No. There's a flock of birds on the interior of the mall at the food court level.
They've been moved. Okay. Because I think originally...
Yes.
They were down.
Originally, they were outside. I don't know if they were here, but they were.
They were once in a parking lot. Okay, that's fine. Thank you.
Good segue for my question. I think I'm not getting power online.
There you go.
So, in the previous hearing, we talked a little bit about artwork, and I think, you know, you've communicated pretty clearly that the staircase inside the building is sort of this terminus piece of art that people are drawn to. But in terms of the plaza design, are the water panel, you know, the stormwater panels, your single approach for artwork in the plaza space?
Yes, they are. Yeah.
Okay. And have you considered storm events in terms of the volume of water that's coming in that trough and down those panels? And you know, my firm's been involved with similar features, and I know there's always a back out or overflow solution. And I've seen some of those things in public spaces failing during heavy events where, you know, you get spillover coming right out of the gutter in unintended locations. So I'm just curious what level of engineering is going into the design of that feature.
Yeah, that's something that we're considering and we'll need to look further into, but we have experience with working on past projects. We believe that, and it requires further study. We are separating the water with baffles into the three different components, and so that may be enough to separate out the water and not need an overflow, but. We brought this image along just to show kind of our experience with another project. This is a stormwater wall that was just built that we designed up at the Expo Center. And for this project, we did carefully consider how this would work with the water distribution system. But in these distribution boxes and in a high rain event, what would happen if the water did overflow? And so it didn't overflow uncontrolled. There's a bypass.
That answers my question. Overall, I think it's a great response to our comments. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah. So just to kind of delve into so the drawing we're seeing is relatively to scale in terms of these components, or is it, was there any engineering done to produce this drawing of the gutter and those things?
It needs...
Okay.
Refinement, but yes, our civil engineers and our landscape people we've been talking to, those panels are about 4 feet wide, so there's a 4-foot slot above them.
Yeah, I'm as concerned about the scale. Not that it's a big deal, but if you're going to present something, it probably needs to be vetted at least a little bit in terms of scale relative to the gutter that's the horizontal piece? Is it going to be twice as big because, oh, we didn't engineer it quite right? Or those kinds of things start to change the proposal. That's what we'd want to.
And then there's all the stuff that ends up getting tacked on if it isn't which was sort of illustrated
the
in
overflow
that photo. Yeah,
valves
and valves, and all of a sudden it becomes something kind of steampunk and not modern.
It's not clean. This is more of a diagram then, rather than a resolved design.
Well, we know how much water we're getting.
Yeah.
We know the size of the pipe that's coming off the roof.
Yeah.
The gutter is adequate to handle that.
Okay.
We need to look at a bypass option, but this represents what's feasible.
Well, I mean, the gutter or the downspout is your determining factor.
Only really so much water can come out of it.
Right, exactly. Right. It'll back up on the roof first, before it
spills. It will.
Yeah. And just as a side note, BES has also reviewed this configuration, and they're supportive of it. So they've gone into detail.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I mean it's awesome, that it's going to function.
That it functions?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can I piggyback on a clarification? I believe Commissioner Simpson asked you if this was your response to our comments from last meeting about public art?
Yes.
Okay. Generally, art is made by artists. So this is your response to maybe adding a water feature. It's not really public art. Is that correct?
Well, if you think of art as something that's consciously and intentionally made, and when it's experienced, evokes an intellectual, emotional response. So this could be art.
Okay, the guidelines are very specific about public art. Okay. Thanks.
So I had a question about the, not being a landscape architect, I was just curious about the trees. Are they, how will they perform in terms of spreading and canopy and then the kind of the limitations on solar access that they're going to have?
Yeah. The birch trees and the west planters could potentially attain a width of about 20 feet and then about 40 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
And they should perform well in sun to part shade conditions that they'll be receiving. The vine maples on the east side will achieve potentially around 10-foot diameter, about 15-foot height. And they can also tolerate sun to shady conditions. And those trees are specific to the stormwater planters, and they are able to handle the wet conditions in a stormwater planter.
Okay. And then this is more of a question, I guess, about flow. So will the bike parking rely then on an ADA curb cut for this, the crosswalk? In order to access the bike parking, if you're coming westbound on Multnomah, would you then use pre-existing an ADA curb cut to get into it, or how does one get there from street to parking?
There's a curb cut right here
and
a curb cut right here, so they're basically straddling.
So you'd use one of those two?
Yeah,
all right.
Or both.
Okay. That's it for me.
Any more questions, Jeff? I have a couple. So could you just review the reasons, logic for relocating the bike parking again? Because it has always kind of been either, within this realm, right? And now it's kind of over. Is that, can you just kind of go into that a little bit?
Well, two reasons. Basically, when we started re-looking at this space and making the canopy as functional and accessible as possible, and also started looking at the options for the location of the stormwater planter, we liked the idea of making the space available as an extension of the
plaza. For functions and whatnot.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
And when we showed this option at our last meeting, it was generally received favorably because it's more visible, more accessible.
Okay. And then Are those built-in wood benches in there? Is that what those are? Or what's on top? They are built in. It doesn't matter. I just wondered in terms of flexibility of the space, if you were, like you said, food carts and things like that, I don't necessarily feel they're essential. If you wanted to have something that's removable as a bench, it might give you more flexibility in there. That was just an observation. Was the depth of the canopy at the retail, that's been reduced then from what it was before, right? It was more than 5 feet, as I recall, right?
It was 5 feet in our last.
So it's been 5 feet?
Yeah.
Oh. My bad there then. Okay. Ted kind of touched on it for a second, and it was an observation I had about there's the paving is concrete, the benches are concrete. Had you explored any kind of paver to kind of give texture and color and a little bit of variety to what might seem like quite a bit of concrete?
You're talking about the rock surface, the paving surface?
Yeah.
Yeah, what we're looking at currently over here, we brought an example of it, is actually essentially a concrete topping. It's the same material that's used at the plaza courtyard at the art museum. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a topping slab that's then etched, so it exposes some of the sands and some of the darker fines.
It also has a color hardener applied to the surface. That gives
it what? Sorry.
A color hardener applied to the surface that's different. It provides a different color and texture than standard concrete that would then be acid etched.
Because at the museum they have a banded approach. Is that what you're? Are you
we're
proposing
not
any
proposing
kind of
a banded approach with color
changes?
But they. At the art museum, they use the same application technique, whether it be the dark or the light.
Right. Do you have variety of tone then, or?
No, we're using scoring pattern to differentiate the different spaces and banding that way.
Okay. The only other thing is bringing up the pole light issue again. It must be something in my subconscious. That's coming out tonight, but on page 49, if you just look at the character of that, I guess if you can adjust the light level, I guess for me, there are two things about it that the poles themselves seem to be sort of in the way, but if they're helping you define space, I didn't really understand it because your perspective shows seating coming out behind, you know, beyond that line as a parallel line going from the street back to the entry, and the kind of harsh nature of the light. Not knowing exactly this light, I know the manufacturer, but is it possible to, I guess like you said, turn down the volume on the light then quite a bit?
I know in the past we've reduced the number of lamps. I will look at whether we can further control the light levels.
Okay. And then just in terms of looking at the entire lighting plan, there seem to be, on page 51 and 2, there's quite a few lights going on. Do you have a slide of that at all, of your lighting plan in your presentation?
Yes.
It's split between two pages, and I was trying to discern which ones were doing what. It was not quite clear to me. So are there any lights in the paving shooting up? None.
No.
Okay. They're all down lights and wall lights and that kind of thing. So I think it would help to just understand where floodlights are, step lights, you know, just to give a sense. Like at the bridge, there seems to be quite a few lights on that, on the underside, which might make sense. But if you could just walk us through that, that'd be great.
Just the lighting scheme overall?
Yeah.
So here's the lighting plan of the plaza itself. There's your light poles that you were talking about a moment ago. In addition, we've got LED fixtures at intervals between those ceiling slats, which provide some general lighting of this area. There's a reveal at the base of the planters wherever this dotted line exists, mm-hmm. and there's linear LEDs which at night provide this sort of floating aspect for the planters. And in addition, there's these 2-inch aperture downlights at the bottom of the bridge at about 5-6 feet on center, pairs of them. And then in the canopies, there's both at the back edge of the canopy some, again, small aperture downlights that light the rock surface under the canopies. And then above the canopies, between the top of the canopy and the soffit above, there are some lights that actually shine to the Macy's wall opposite to throw some light on that, to give some ambient light and light effect in that space.
Is that rendered in your night shot at all?
Yes.
We need to change it now. Just let's save that for the end. So that's just something to go back to.
Right. And in addition, there are essentially step lights. Again, very small aperture lights mounted in the vertical face of the curb that light that wash the bridge surface, so that people coming across to this second-story entrance at Macy's have a lighted path.
So where are those again? That's where I got confused. Sorry.
These guys
PL3 and PL4, right?
These guys right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are these guys right here. And so we have an 8-inch curb, concrete curb, on each side of the bridge. And in that 8-inch curb.
Inset in that curb.
Right, right.
And they're just slashing
across
the
walkway.
They just wash right across that horizontal surface.
It.
Got it.
And then in addition, we have these pin lights mounted between battens here, which just wash those broad faces of the battens and highlight that vertical surface. And then finally, mounted on the parapet here are these what are called gobo light fixtures that have a pretty strong throw that actually light the surface of the plaza.
That's the 7? Or which one?
I'm having a hard time reading it from here, but it's this guy right here.
PL6, yeah. So that's the LED pattern?
Yeah, it's this guy right here.
So it changes patterns, whatever you want to program it as?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. And I guess now if you want to find that night shot, that would be helpful.
That's going to be at the very beginning here.
Maybe it's twilight. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a little hard to see in this rendering, but there's some light wash on the wall there from some of the fixtures mounted opposite.
Right. Okay. All right. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Just one quick more. C31 for a second, please.
Which one is that? This one.
Yeah. And you said those are about 15 inches apart, and this is a pretty realistic rendering.
Yeah.
Is there a concern for the headlights coming into your entryway, or the horns, or sounds, or is that a concern, or do you guys not?
I don't think noise is typically an issue. I mean, we're there a lot, and that doesn't seem to be an issue. I don't think headlights will be a huge issue because from the entrance to the parking garage, there's very little reason for, well, I guess they're coming down the long aisle, there could be some headlight issues.
You're talking about the car circulation side.
Yeah. And then, so when this is not food carts, just during what I guess would be the majority of the time of this entry sequence, what do you guys envision? Who's in that covered area?
When it's not programmed?
Yeah.
I actually think of it as a really nice adjunct to the plaza space. It's one of the reasons why we like it and why we developed it the way we have. It provides another option for people to hang out and drink coffee, wait for a bus, wait for somebody to finish shopping.
Any other questions? Okay, since it's a type 3, we assume that our questions are completed here. Is anyone wanted to testify? You can fill out a yellow form and give it to Shelley, either for or nay. If there's no one, we can skip 3 and 4 and 5. And do we have any other questions or comments for the applicant? If not, I'll close public testimony with the caveat I might reopen it. But so let's just kind of talk about what issues there are. Seems like they've made quite a bit of progress from last time. Who has any burning concerns relative to the landscaping or paving, materials, lighting, configuration? Ben, you mentioned this kind of space, which I sort of had a bit of a question mark myself. How's it going to be used? It seems a little barren when it's not in use. It seems like it's great when they have, like you described, maybe there's a carts or something going on. It seems like a really successful or full of potential, but on a day like today, not much going on. I don't know. Seems like it. I mean, what I was, when you were asking that question, I was saying, well, what if they had movable furniture in there? You know, it's just like something that would be more inviting than like three benches in the edge of a concrete thing. But I don't know. It also seems a bit, I don't know, maybe not forced, but is that something that would make sense or not?
Yeah, and I was just going to say, first of all, to John, it's interesting, and I go back and forth on this because this is a mall, and it's in the center of our, what's quickly becoming a very important part of our city as it fills in, gets denser and denser. And I bet coming from Texas, you're like, what is the city of Portland giving so much attention to this one little strip entry to our mall, which is, and so I keep going back and forth between what I'm sure is your concern and what is a legitimate concern, like why is the city of Portland so invested in this little stretch? And now I think our third story. And then balanced with the fact that this mall has been sitting in the middle of this very important part of the city and kind of just this untenable behemoth for decades. And so I think that what went for me when I pour this thinking and thought into this one little stretch, I'm kind of trying to make up for decades of the whole area being ignored. And this is certainly not the developer's fault. You guys are doing your best to get forward. So when I look at this, I'm just putting a lot of importance in it, because really this is the biggest positive step forward of that whole, how many blocks is it? It's 15, 16, I mean, city blocks that are just, so this is the one kind of foot forward for it. And so that, just so an explanation before I say my concerns here, why I'm kind of thinking about this and putting, I think why the city is putting so much effort into it. So in answer to your question, David, my concern would be when these trees get to be 40 feet tall, a 20-foot canopy, then what does that space become? Because that's, now you've blocked off all the west light. Now the west side of your, I mean, the east side of your entryway is all in shadow. This is in severe shadow, and now in a recess with the other side being trapped with headlights. So in 5 or 6 years from now, I don't know what, I don't think that'll be very appealing. And that's why I think we even brought it up. Like, if for me, the taller part of the vegetation should be on the east side, shorter on the west side, stepping down to this, particularly if you make it more concave. So I think...
Is that a landscape change then?
Yeah,
you think,
I
versus
think the landscape
versus a lot.
Just
yeah.
twisted a right. little bit and didn't, and doesn't make, to me, doesn't make sense now. Four or five years out.
It's like this has been divided into two raceways by the concrete planters, and it seems like that there could be a blending of this side space with the center space, so it's not a either or, but it's designed more holistically, so that some of the pieces go over to the raceway and some of them come over to the plaza. There's a more, am I making sense?
It's a double corridor kind of situation. Now.
Yeah, it's a double corridor. So how can we, you know, is there a way, you know, pull one of the planters out or, you know, make it a different shape? Or how can you invite people in a more...
Right.
More invitational way to permeate back and forth, so it's not seen like the backside of the main entry, the dark side.
It's the tension I see between, I think there was a lot of push from us to provide rain protection in more depth, and I think that this is sort of actually an ingenious solution to that. I mean, it's a great way to do that. So you take that apart, you know, and the using the bulkhead in that way and sort of giving it an interesting treatment, I think that's all great, and I'm fine with that. And then when we hear, well, we need to do the planters because the trees need that kind of soil. You know, you need the soil volume for the trees, and you hear about how big the tree's going to get. And, yeah, I mean, my question is, is it eliminating every other planter? Is it taking out a couple of the trees? Some way to make it a little bit more permeable and knit together.
And some diversity. I mean, if you pulled the first planter or the third planter out and replaced it with a great work of public art done by an artist.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, you bring that. You know, last time I was really pretty cranky about in my mentioning about the what Lloyd Center has, which is that combination of the intimacy of bronze material from the artwork, the planters, and the seasonal plants, and all of that, which you've done part of it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm wondering, because there's so much concrete here, if there's a way to add, you know, another element, and the wall does that because it's not solid, so. But you know, is there a way to begin to think of the back part as part of the front part in some way, the side part? So and that may mean a little less is more, because it's pretty regimented right now.
I think the east side is fairly successful. I don't have any problems with that. I think they've done. To me, they've kind of done what we asked them.
Absolutely.
In terms of giving it some variation and some defined seating areas that are outside the kind of main path. It does seem that I think that maybe the misstep was the kind of trying to align the canopies when I don't know that that's really all that critical relative to a path that's under cover that can jog at the bridge and come back and forth. But, to me, they're so close. I just wonder what if we can figure out a way to get them out of here today.
That'd be nice.
Well, I think the other thing that's confusing is this plan view on C21 shows the birch trees lined up, you know, in
right.
an architectural line versus I think your intent is that they weave, bob and weave a little bit. I think the other thing that's a little misleading in the illustrations is, you know, I look at the plan view, planting plan, and I see a lot of movement and a lot of, sophisticated planter plantings. I mean, I think they're exceptional, well done, and I don't think that is captured in these illustrations.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes,
I think that makes it difficult to look at this mm-hmm. and see mm-hmm. somewhat what I would say the word sterility comes to mind. Mm-hmm. But
right.
then I see the
sure.
plan view and I can imagine what's gone into the design of the actual scaping of the planter. And I think that's exceptional. I think for me, the thing that fails here, and I also note the planter sizes and the spacing is. There's generous space between these planters. I mean, it's 20 feet or more. So when I look at it in plan view, I say, well, this is one contiguous plaza with some very prescriptive raised planters that are spaced in a very generous way. So for me, spatially, I think it works. What I think is a conflict, I agree with Ben, that the selection of the variety may lead to some problematic results 10 years from now, unless there's substantial maintenance, canopy thinning, you know, canopy raising to let light into the space in the afternoon.
The birch trees.
Let me let me reopen the record here so that we can have a bit of a back and forth. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Sorry. Am I out of program?
No, you're
no,
good.
No.
They were beginning to respond.
So I
want to let them respond.
To me, it may just be the solution may be in the change of a variety of tree would almost settle it. I'm not sure flipping fine maples to the west side of the plaza and putting the birch trees up against the tall wall isn't something to consider. I mean, there's the aspect of celebrating that tall Macy's wall and not trying to break it down with scale of plant material by putting tall trees up in front of it. I understand that. I think that would diminish some of the power of those flagpoles and some of those gestures you're making to really celebrate that big wall. So I agree with David that the east side is working for me. It's just maybe it's a tall columnar, very columnar tree that goes in those planters on the west side that gives you that vertical exclamation point that you're looking for, but also limits the canopy shade and all the negative impacts that a large foliated canopy is going to do for the space.
Yeah, so. I mean, birch trees are cool. I mean, they're beautiful, very and cool. the bark is interesting. And, yeah, I mean, they're really great trees. It's just, you know, is this the place for them?
There's a Swedish columnar aspen that'll get about 40 feet tall, and I think the canopy spread on that's maybe max at 5 feet. And it's also got that silvery white bark, and they're super durable in urban environments. So I think there's other alternatives to the trees.
Ben's comment related to density of canopy, are they dense?
Well, it's columnar.
The columnar aspen is a fairly dense canopy, but it's a super small footprint.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
so
that would help.
Can you go to 21 again, that plan view? You know, if number two planter and number three planter were round, it completely turns this into a room, one single room, because it's not two alleys anymore, and it's a way of actually animating this whole space instead of two aisles. Something like that.
Well, I was wondering if you took one out.
Well, I was working on that,
because then it creates something, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The second one in, I think, Brad had suggested before.
Yeah.
Pardon?
The second one in, you had suggested before as a...
Yeah. Well, I just... as I say, I'm wondering if there's a way to make a statement here that says this is all a place.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that in the statement you're making, you're saying it's not an aisle. It's a place where you can sit at any angle. So it, in its shape, it actually suggests that it's a room rather than an aisle, you know, on a perceptual space, because you'd have people facing all directions.
It's a destination versus a pass-through space.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Better said.
And that's a fire exit, right? So those are just blank doors coming out of Macy's? Those are steel doors?
Right.
So that could be a little kind of stage if you do orient things. I mean, that could act as your stage, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are you allowed to block a fire exit with a whole band?
No.
If you're a grunge band.
They can push them all out.
Yeah. All right. Is that the extent of our issues then? We've kind of got a few ideas on the table about how to...
And I agree with you that if you didn't make those fixed benches in the screen, then you could... put a food cart right up against that. Otherwise, you're kind of dealing
with... Yeah, you're dealing with a non-module.
Kind of
right,
with
right. Just a question. The dimension from the west side of those four planters back to the garage line where you've got your screen, is that a calculated dimension that you've kind of said we need this much for circulation in a cart? And just kind of trying to figure out what... Okay.
Right. Yeah, enough to park a cart... in here and still allow passage under the canopy.
Okay. All right. So we've got a couple ideas of changing out the trees in those four planters.
Right. That feels very conditionable to me.
Yes.
Provided the tree can perform the way it needs to perform and that, you know.
And Jeff has a suggestion.
I think there's two or three varieties that do the same job.
Right.
Okay.
So, we don't need to prescribe the particular tree, but the idea of the type of tree that we'd like to see.
Okay.
Maybe taking out one of the planters
That's where things get a little loose, where we're talking about, like, maybe we should make them round, or take one out, or, you know.
I'm trying to just limit it to taking one out right
okay.
now.
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
I like the idea of taking one out and just devoting that space for a piece of art, as Tad suggested.
Well, to me, I think you take it out, and it becomes a place
too.
At that point. And then the art can be another issue on the table, okay, if you want to put it that way. And then the benches may be coming out.
The third one back comes out, the planter. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think comes out?
That's what I would say. It's enough. It's far enough out of the street.
Should be on the ground plane that defines that as a space.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to be clear, you're talking about that guy.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Right. What about the concrete? The amount of concrete and are we okay?
The benches are the same as the.
I guess that's the question.
Planters are the same as the paving? No.
They're concrete, but they have an interior color to make them darker than the paving.
Yeah.
And etched.
And with the acid etch finish.
Yeah.
This is the vertical surface?
That's the horizontal surface.
Right.
That's just the paving. The benches
are.
That
is the paving. Right. Okay. So the benches are something different.
Right. They're an architectural finished interior color concrete. And they'll also have the stainless skateboard stops on.
Okay.
So you say a couple of these do go down into the ground plane, or they sit on top of the pavement?
This guy sits over. On a structured slab over a basement below. This guy straddles basement on this side, on grade on this side, and these two are fully on grade.
The only reason I ask, I think this came up in one of the other ones, is it would be great if they didn't appear, like you guys just bought them and put them there. Like a lot of the rest of the mall, those trees and planters just felt like they were delivered on a truck, and they kind of move them around, and they don't really feel part of the mall or part of the landscape they're in or part of the sequence. It'd be great if, when these get designed, if they feel like they're designed in place, like they're not just movable furniture. Kind of.
They've got a little detail, a little lip. At the bottom. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I understand.
So and they've got lighting underneath them. So it seems like they're fairly substantial.
Yeah.
You won't have miter joints or anything like that. It's poured in place, so I mean, there's some heft and weight to it. Okay, I've got three things, and then we're all right with the paving then.
I don't know.
You don't seem convinced.
Plan
when
that shows the scoring pattern or anything.
Yeah, we don't
there?
Have a plan.
We don't have anything.
Yeah. Well, it's actually in this plan. It's a little easier to see.
It's C21.
It's basically a grid,
right?
Scoring
pattern.
It's a grid.
Well, okay.
Well, it's
yes.
a grid.
There it is, yeah.
It gets denser at these
It's very hard to read.
At the crosses.
Okay. So there's something going on there.
Oh, I see.
Oh, I see. Okay. But it is all the same color and finish. All right.
Was that 4-foot grid?
Do you have that sample?
The larger panels. The larger panels are 4 foot, and then the smaller ones are around 2 foot.
Okay.
So that's it.
That gum is going to show up really well on that.
We don't have a sample.
Oh, so it's raised.
I got a picture to show you.
The platters will have an etched integral color.
So that's the paving on that.
It's concrete.
It's concrete.
And what's this paint then?
There are precast elements on the storefront at Rocks.
Coating on some of the blocks. Down.
Yeah.
Well, this is what happens when you pull up the gum.
Yeah.
Try and clean it.
Well, it seems like we're pretty close to crafting something.
Yeah, and the only other thing I heard you say, and it's more, I think it's more of a friendly amendment, is the whole, the lamp quality and the yeah. lights. And I mean, the problem, of course, is that, you know, in type twos around the building, that fixture has already been deployed in this manner, and so there's a consistency.
Okay, yeah.
I also think it adds some coherency to the flagpoles. I mean, I like that fixture as it ties to that vertical element of the flagpoles.
Sure.
The light quality, obviously, is an issue.
Yeah, I'm okay with it if they can control the light to some degree. So.
Okay.
All right, so you're okay with paving? Just going to let it slide or what? No one seems to love it, so.
Love? I'm sorry, what did you say?
The paving?
Whoa. It seems pretty vanilla.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, is it okay, though?
It's durable. It's got a nice texture. I mean, it's skid resistant.
Yeah, material-wise, it's fine.
It's fine. Yeah.
In terms of
the question is whether there's a banding or something that adds us, an edge or some kind of detailing.
Well, there is some scoring banding that runs east-west.
Understood.
It's not a finished differential.
Right. Yeah. One thing I might suggest is, I think your outdoor seating is already sneaking into your covered area. That was kind of the covered access to the front door. Even in your diagram, the umbrella is sneaking into where I think is your covered access, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I don't know, maybe you could do that in a different color, just to kind of somehow, because I think any restaurateur would definitely put their seating right underneath that covered area.
Well, that's actually one of the points that I think John was trying to make in his preface, was that we can manage through agreements with the tenants precisely where they can put that stuff. Not that it's not a good idea to create a different colored zone in here, but we can mandate that these tables and chairs are not put under the canopy.
Yeah, I mean, only that is the last stretch of covered, right, to the front door.
Right.
I think it's inevitable that people move in into it, but it's up to you guys. I mean, even the drawings moved into it. So
that was a mistake.
It's not off limits yet.
The thing about the ground, this ground plan question and color and all of that is that I feel like in our conversations up to this point, we've been working really hard on kind of eliminating clutter and tidying things up and kind of keeping the approach simple. And
ditto.
The question mark I have is it worth sending them back to have them explore a bunch of different paving options when I think it's been a real challenge to get this space to all the planes in the space to talk to one another and all the elements in the space to talk to one another in a way that's pleasing. And I feel like we're so close that I'm not sure if I'm willing to call another hearing in order to discuss.
I totally agree, Gwen. You know? I was just going to say the exact same thing. I think, when you start to add definition to the ground plane, you start to steal a little bit of the attention from other things that are going on there that make the space so successful.
It's a super planar space.
Yeah.
I mean, with the...
Yeah. I mean, the subtlety and the scoring and creating bands in the scoring, but consistent finishes adds a level of detail and texture that I think is adequate and appropriate. Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's a substitute for a richer material, but, and scoring and pattern is a line. It's not necessarily, something that is a difference maker. I was reading body language, so it's just kind of, if we're okay with it, then let's move on. All right. Okay, so it seems like we want to have a motion that conditions the trees and west planters, the removal of one of the west planters, and maybe the removal of those benches in the covered area bin?
Sure.
Okay. So, Gwen, you want to give it a stab?
I can give it a try here. I move to approve the staff report with the following conditions added to it. One would be the elimination of a planter from the series of planters on the west side, and preferably the third one from the street. Elimination of the fixed wood benches in the bulkhead area next to the parking lot, and the replacement of the birches proposed in the packet with a more columnar species.
Can I get a second?
I second that.
Okay. Shelley, can you?
Commissioner Kaiser?
Aye.
Stefanoff?
No.
Milius?
Aye.
Bork?
Aye.
And Simpson?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you all.
Thank you very much.
Patience, good luck. We look forward to seeing this. And when's your construction completion date? You get that set? Now that you're approved.